iniquity, deviation. Then he uses the word transgression. Transgression is breaking the law. You're driving down the main highway, and a little white sign goes flashing past that says 70. And you look down at the speedometer and it says 80. You have transgressed the law that says thou shalt not drive faster than 70 miles an hour. That's transgression. Now God has set down in the scriptures so that no one is excusable. It's there, it's clear, it's simple language. His law has set down, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Oh, someone says, we don't have gods in this country. Oh, is that so? Covetousness, which is idolatry, one of the great iniquities of the day. Covetousness, which is idolatry, one of the gods of gold in the land today. Transgression, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal. And he has set down his law. One day a lawyer came to the Lord Jesus and said, good master, what is the first and great commandment of the law? The Lord Jesus answered, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And he was going to give him more than he was asked for, as the Lord always does. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law. All the law. Have you broken the first and great commandment? Well, of course. We all have. Not one of us has loved the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, every minute of every hour of every day we've ever lived. We're lawbreakers of the first and great commandment. So what now? The Bible says, cursed is he that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now we're under the curse of God. We've broken the first and great commandment. We are lawbreakers, and therefore are guilty of all the law being broken. Now what? If we're lawbreakers, how can we be saved from this? Well, the Lord Jesus came into the world not just to keep the law, but he fulfilled the law in every detail, perfect, impeccable, sinless. And he gave his life as a penalty for the lawbreaker. Do you see what's happening here? The Lord Jesus did not need his sacrifice for himself. So he created in the universe a great credit value, his life, his death. A great credit value upon which all sinners may draw for themselves, that they may receive Christ as their Savior on his finished work upon the cross, and all our sins will be forgiven. Oh, that's a marvelous thing. That you can go to bed tonight with a clear sheet between your soul and God. I was preaching in the Canadian West one time. After the meeting, a gospel meeting, it was a sharp looking man in his 60s, I judge, his white hair, grey suit, quite athletic looking, walking back and forward at the back of the building alone. And he did this until everybody was gone, and he came to me and said, sir, I must speak to you personally. Well, I said, sure. So we went into a little room. He turned around and put out his hand and he said, my name, by way of introduction, I said, my name is Boyd Nicholson from St. Catharines. And his response is, my name is Edwin Alonzo Boyd. Now that means nothing to you, but it meant something to me. Because about 30 years before, this man had been in our newspapers all over the country. He was the leader of a gang of bank robbers. He was the number one criminal on the Royal Canadian Mounted Police list of the 10 most wanted men in Canada. And I said, you're not the Edwin Alonzo Boyd. He says, the very same. He says, I have served two life sentences, and I'm out now on lifetime parole living under an assumed name. My neighbors don't know who I am. But now that you know who I am, is there any hope for a man like me? I had preached that night from the text, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I said, are you a sinner? says, I surely am. We sat down together and I went through the gospel story. He didn't leave a verse. He's a very bright, very sharp fellow. He wouldn't leave a verse until he felt he understood it. After we went through the gospel, he said, I see there's something I have to do. He stood up, turned around, got down on his knees, and I got down beside him, and I shall never forget his prayer. He said, O God, we have read in thy word tonight that if I will receive thy Son to be my Savior, thou wilt forgive all my sins and give me eternal life. O God, I now hold thee to thy promises. Oh, that was good, wasn't it? That was good. I could say amen to that. He stood up, smiling, put out his hand. Now he says, sir, my record is clean. Every time I go back to the city, almost every time I go and visit him, still going on for God. My friend, you're not the top criminal in the United States. Thank God for that. But I want to tell you, God loves you, and if your sins are not forgiven, he'll be in heaven, that man, and you'll miss it forever. For God so loved you in this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, oh, don't I love that word, whosoever, if any man, woman, boy, or girl hears my word, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish is the lack of God. The word perish doesn't mean to die and go to hell. It's worse than that. At home we have a fireplace. And when the ashes are there and they have to be cleaned out, if I was to go to the china cabinet where my wife keeps some of her treasures, her grandmother's gravy boat and all those wonderful things that women keep, if I was to go and take this treasured china piece and take it to the fireplace and start digging out the ashes with it, I don't think I would be particularly popular with my wife. You see, that was not the purpose for which that vessel was designed. It was designed for another purpose altogether. I have a shovel for that. That's the purpose of the shovel. Now, the word to perish means to miss the reason for design, to miss the purpose for which you have been designed. That's what it means to perish. And God has a purpose for your life, a glorious purpose. Here now is wonderful, but in eternity, to be united with his Son in the reigning and administration of his eternal kingdom, which forever shall be increasing to the infinities of ages of ages. And his people have been made a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign with him. Angels will be the servants of the saints. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. A wonderful thing to be saved. Not just saved out of hell, thank God we'll never be there. Or even brought into heaven, that's wonderful. But to be made like his Son and to bring joy to the heart of God forever, that's the reason for your existence. That's why he created you. And if you miss it, you will have missed everything for why you were created. Perish is to lack God, the supreme sorrow. Sorrow is the consciousness of lack. The sorrow of poverty is consciously to lack the necessities of life. The sorrow of bereavement is the conscious lack of a loved one gone. The supreme sorrow is the lack of God, and that's what our Savior suffered on the cross when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was taking your place and mine under the judgment of God, and that was the depth of sorrow. But those who die without Christ will experience the supreme sorrow of the lack of God. To perish, what does it mean? I really can't say. But I do know it is for a soul with the capacity for eternal life and blessedness to miss the reason for our existence. For that soul, created in the divine image, to be eternally polluted and shattered by eternal storm. for a soul designed to find its gravitating center in God, instead to be slung out as a stone is slung from a sling into the blackness of darkness, to wander forever, to perish, is for a soul intended for the fellowship of God and the company of His Son, to dwell in the midst of thunder blasted demons, the wretchedest wrecks of the universe, lost, and at last to stand before the Son of God at the judgment and behold Him in His glory and majesty, and have a longing to dwell forever within sight of that beautiful countenance, within sound of His voice, to hear Him say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Come, O my soul, thy certain ruin trace, if thou neglect the Savior's proffered grace. Infinite years in torment thou must spend, which never, 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 never have an end. Yes, thou shalt dwell in torment and despair, as many years as atoms in the air. When these are spent, as many thousands more, as grains of sand upon the ebbing shore. When these have fled, as many yet behind, as forest leaves when blown by the wind. And these are gone, as many to ensue as blades of grass and drops of morning dew. When all those years are spent and multiplied by myriad times again, then that could afford some ease, could I suppose that then thy dreadful years were at a close. But oh, I tremble and I shiver at that awful word. Forever and forever." Oh, my dear friend, listen to this text as I close. Open your heart to its truth and to its Savior. Pass from death to life and live for His purposes and for His glory. Listen to it. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Shall we pray? Oh God, our Father, we are really baffled at Thy wondrous love to us. Unworthy, ungodly, unlovely. In our sins, yet Thou hast loved us. Opened heaven with its greatest gift from glory, Thine only begotten Son, and He willingly coming to become a man and live amongst men, to feel the feelings of humanity, to weep its tears and know its sorrows, and at last to be rejected by His own creature, crowned in mockery, spat upon, and nailed at last to the only throne men ever gave Him, on Golgotha's hill. And there He died, a king crucified, to save a poor sinner like each one of us. Father, we thank You for everyone in this audience who's made the great discovery and has received Thy beloved Son, not trusting in their own good works, not resting in their own way, their own religion, but coming to Thee, acknowledging their sinnership and their guilt, and simply receiving Thy Son, the living Christ, into their hearts. We pray for any in this audience who have never done that. We pray the transaction may be completed today, that they may pass from death unto life and fulfill the reason for their existence now and forever. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus and for His glory. Amen. Can we sing together a closing hymn?
This one here.
353. Let Jesus come into your heart. If you're tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. 353.